Hey everyone, we know it's been a difficult year for all of us. So as we draw closer to the end of the year, we wanted to do something really special for our audience. So for the next four episodes, you'll be hearing from dope Black women across the globe who will be sharing their thoughts and ideas and advice on all things wellness. We really hope you enjoy this series and that it brings you some reflection and reprieve from all of the crazy things that have happened this year. We hope you enjoy and we'll be back with you soon. Until then, stay blessed and unapologetically Black.
This is the Dope Black Women Podcast.
Welcome to the Dope Black Women Podcast. This is a guest show by myself, Chloe Pierre, the founder of wellness brand Thyself, and Agnes.
Hi, I'm the founder of Black Minds Matter.
We are coming together because there's a shared interest. There's a shared community, and very much from my point of view, much a shared appreciation for the work that you do.
Definitely. I think we have kind of the same, like very similar missions. I mean, just trying to take over with the wellness industry and also just trying to change the face of Black mental health in general. So it's amazing and it's an honor to be on here with you.
Yeah, same, likewise. So can you tell me a little bit more about you, your work, how you got started? Just a general overview of the story of Black Minds Matter UK.
Yeah, so we started Black Minds Matter UK because we wanted to just connect as many Black people in the UK with basically certified Black therapists. And I've had like sort of therapy in the past and just seen how beneficial it was. And after the whole Black Lives Matter movement, just going online and seeing how a lot of Black people were almost angry and just venting in the wrong spaces, we wanted to ensure that people knew that therapy was an option, that people went down the therapy route as a safe space, especially when you've got the far right movement just at its height during this year. It was just important for us to protect the Black people around us. And just continue to encourage people to heal in safer spaces versus online, because online spaces can be quite dangerous, especially if you're a Black person voicing your opinions about trauma, for example, and you continuously get dismissed or continuously get trolled. We just felt like Black people deserved quality and good healing.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. So when you mentioned wrong spaces, you're specifically speaking about online spaces.
I think a lot of people sometimes forget, unless you are on like a specific online page, and even then you're not guaranteed the protection to speak about certain issues. People kind of forget that going online and maybe say talking about racial trauma can open a wide, like a door to a load of people who might not agree with what you're saying, and it can actually disrupt your healing if you're not careful. Sometimes it's better to have a therapist who you can speak so freely about racial trauma, for example, without feeling judged, without feeling attacked, without feeling dismissed. And that's kind of what we really wanted to encourage.
What are you most proud of so far?
I think I'm most proud of how quickly it's grown. I'm most proud of the fact that when we started, it just kind of felt like, you know, just raising some money for 50 people to go to therapy. And now realizing that the problem is so big, in, especially in the UK, we have been failed multiple times by institutions, and institutional racism has poured into healthcare in so many different ways. So just realizing that we are going to have a bigger impact, and just kind of waking up and realizing that a lot of people are going to benefit so much from this service for as long as we're needed is incredible. When you create something and you're not consciously aware of how huge it is, it's quite nice when you have those little moments when you realize you've created one hell of an organization in such a short space of time.
That's beautiful. And how has 2020 been for you so far with everything going on? Because I know how extremely busy you are, how busy your team is. The work that you do is basically around the clock. So how has 2020 been for you?
If I did not have Black Minds Matter, I think I would have had to completely rejig how I have chosen to look after myself in 2020. I think this has been a very challenging year, and I'm super lucky and super blessed that I have this little baby to kind of watch over 24/7, because I would be truly lost. I'm such an extrovert that I don't know how to just stay in and not do anything. So I've struggled when it comes to the social side of things, but I've also gained like an online virtual family. So it's nice to be able to have time to catch up with that. But I've really, really missed being social.
When I created Thyself, I never imagined that we'd be here today. I'd never imagined the world would look like this. I would never imagine that we would be having certain conversations and on such loud platforms. And that something that I would create would go on to be something that loud. So it's really interesting when you say that, because I would agree, Thyself has definitely kept me grounded during this time. It's given me direction in a sea of confusion.
Yeah, for sure. It's also just having, it's giving you like that little bit of like discipline and routine that you kind of need in lockdown, but also just that warmth of a community, like just being able to log onto your own platform and share your own views and be in control of how, of the messaging, be in control of the people you interact with. Having that is just so powerful.
It really is. What I love most about Black Minds Matter UK is that you provide us with stats that were seemingly difficult to access or just weren't around before.
Oh my God, do you see the bots that come every time we post stats?
Yeah, I do, but we, you know, I can just report them, even though that might not go very far, but you know, we're reporting numbers, you know?
Exactly. But yeah, you're so right. Like a lot of the time, Black mental health, for example, hasn't really been researched enough, which is kind of, it's mad to me. Like I always say this every time I talk about this, is there should have been more research, more care, more treatment into Black people's mental health straight after like the Windrush, straight after slavery. People should have had the support back then. Like the fact that it's only now that people are starting to really, not people, but institutions are starting to care about Black mental health after the recent Black Lives Matter movement, but never cared when all of our ancestors were completely abused, abducted, raped. Like that was not a priority then. But it's also interesting, there hasn't been much research into Black mental health. Like some of the stats that we have are just so limited to small groups. And a lot of research is like around BAME, the BAME community, and not around Black people specific. But so it's been quite difficult trying to dig up those stats, but we're hoping to continue to support more research into Black mental health to really find out why these stats do exist, because the fact that Black people are like 3 to 4 times more likely to be diagnosed with schizophrenia is just a bit ridiculous, and we need to find out why.
What have you learned this year? What did you learn about yourself?
One of the things, I don't know, I think I've learned to completely trust myself. Before, I never quite trusted myself. I knew of my abilities, but I never quite trusted myself enough. If I could look back a year, like if I could look back from like last year and you told me I'd be doing this now, I just would not believe it. And that just shows how much I lacked in self-esteem back then, but now I completely trust in my abilities to create long-term impactful change, which is incredible. And I'm just so grateful for that realization, because it's like once you realize that you can do something, it kind of opens so many doors and so many possibilities to you creating and achieving more other things. So I'm just super grateful for that, just having a little bit more trust in me.
Yeah, and you definitely can't go back, right?
You can't. You really can't.
But that's the beauty of it. And I'm so glad that, again, that we're just on this journey. And
What have you learned this year, Chloe?
Do you know what? I feel like you and I might just be the same person, maybe, because I feel exactly the same. I've definitely grown in confidence. I've learned to trust myself. I've learned to just be still, to be honest, and to trust that some way, somehow, things are going to work out. I do believe that when things get tough and when I feel uncomfortable, I've noticed this a lot over the last few years, when I feel uncomfortable, it means that there's change on the horizon.
Yeah.
So when that happens, I really get nervous, but I've learned to have or adopt new coping mechanisms.
For sure.
Works out for me. I've learned how to grow and to do that,
yeah,
you know, in the right way for me.
I think the best thing anyone ever told me was there's so many people out there who have half the skills that you have, but they're killing it just because they had a bit more confidence in themselves.
Exactly. And I've seen
I have seen it. Yeah, I think especially like as a Black woman, we always have to work twice as hard, and we always kind of sometimes feel like we have to prove ourselves a lot more than our white counterparts.
Yeah.
And I think this year has just given us that little bit of confidence in ourselves that we can do better and we can achieve those things without having to compromise our integrity or ask for too much.
Yeah, exactly. What I love that I've learned about the community, whether that's through thyself or through Black Minds Matter or just generally as a whole, I feel like as Black people, we're starting to see each other more. I definitely Black British people, we are seeing each other for the I can't say for the first time, I haven't been around forever, but in my lifetime, this is the first
That is such an incredible point, because I grew up in a predominantly white area. I grew up in Torquay, and I just never had Black people around me. And to then have like a whole online community of Black people is just so ironic in itself, like especially after suffering from like serious inner anti-Blackness. To then, like, if you told me like 10 years ago that you have an organization called Black Minds Matter, even just the name would make me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, because it's kind of like you're grappling with your identity, even though people look at you a certain way, you know who you are, but it's just
exactly
because you go up against all these representations and stereotypes. I've been in a very similar position. I went to predominantly all white schools. I think it's things like this that has definitely made me just feel whole. I don't have to
prove
who I am.
Exactly.
For itself. So
exactly. And that's so right. And just having that access to Black people who think like you, who understand your pain, who have been through it, who are also cheering you on. Like, the amount of Black joy is just beautiful. And it's just been such a long time coming. And for once, I can almost feel at home in England, whereas I never used to feel like that before.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there is a lot of work to do. And I'm not going to go into the politics because that is definitely another conversation.
Yeah, that's another conversation.
But we're getting there. And I just think the fact that we're together is like step one. And so if I was listening to this podcast, this channel, just know that you're not alone. And honestly, the community is growing strong. And that's the first step. The rest will come. It has to.
Yeah, definitely.
We're too awake now to, you know, let it be. So what makes you a dope Black woman or person, whichever pronoun you
prefer? I actually thought about this because when I saw that message when you sent the whole deck before, I was like, oh my god, yeah, that what makes me a dope Black woman. I think what makes me a dope Black woman is the fact that I'm living my legacy. I'm a dope Black woman under the age of 30 who is actually living her legacy. And it's kind of weird to think that if anything was to happen, I can always look back and say, I did my part for my community. I gave my all. And that is just so special to know that you have left a mark in someone's life or in people's lives. And that's what makes me a dope Black woman, the sacrifices I've made for my community.
Yeah, I love that. What I would say is just being unapologetic, and that is something that I've learned over the last few years, and it's just come to like a head at this year. Unapologetic. I don't mince my words, and I don't feel like I should have to. I think I'm respectful to
definitely
many, but I won't quieten my voice. I won't apologize for who I am, what I look like.
For sure. I think you are such a huge inspiration to so many Black women out there, so many, including myself. Just the way you carry yourself out online, it's respectful, but it's also not submissive to the patriarchy or like the systems. It's so incredible to see someone with a voice and who uses it in such a beautiful way.
Thank you. You know, I feel exactly the same about you. So it's great.
Thank you.
So now that we're basically in a second lockdown, I prefer to call it a prolonged lockdown.
We ain't even.
Yeah, we're not for a long time. So with, I guess, a month to look forward to, I think there will be more time. Mm-hmm. How have you and your community prepared, or how are you going about managing this lockdown?
I think just reminding ourselves that we have been through it once, we can get through it again.
Yeah.
Also just reminding yourself this is just a moment. It's not going to happen forever. We are not going to have that chance again to be within ourselves. It's quite difficult. It's a really difficult time, but this is the only time you're going to have to yourself. Whatever you choose to do with that is completely up to you. If you want a nap, that's absolutely fine. But just make sure that you are doing exactly what your body wants you to do at that time. Don't push yourself to be productive. Don't push yourself to limits that you will not reach. Just be very realistic, compassionate, and just find something that keeps you alive during this time. If you can get through the day, that is it. That's how we kind of deal with things in our community, especially like within my team. We're very compassionate when it comes to people's motivational levels during lockdown. We don't put too much pressure on each other. And it's like, if someone texts and says like, listen, I've woken up today, I don't feel like doing anything, well, that's cool, just take the day off, because it is a tasking time. We are in a pandemic, so just don't put pressure on yourself.
What would you say to someone that says, I have a routine this time round? What would you say?
I think routines are so important. As much as I'm quite a stubborn person, I don't really like routines, but they are so important for your mental health, even if it's just the most basic routine, like whenever I get up, you don't have to have a set time to get up, but when I get up, I need to make my bed, I need to do this, have food, and then maybe stand outside and just get some sunlight. Just having a few things in the day that you do every day to keep you sane is so important. I literally have the most basic routine. Apart from work, it's get up. I don't make my bed because I like to work from my bed, if I'm being honest. But I get up, have a shower, make breakfast, and that is it. That, as long as I can wake up, have a shower, make breakfast, and then do work, I'm fine with that. Just because breakfast brings me so much joy. That's what I absolutely love. Yeah. And I make an effort to make that a special moment for me every single day. But just having that is enough. But getting exercise, I know it sounds so like cliche, but every time that I've actually made myself exercise, I felt so great after. Mm-hmm. And just communicating with friends. I know it's so tempting to just shut off during this time because you're not seeing people, but mm-hmm. keeping that communication and speaking to other people around you just kind of reminds you that you're not in this alone.
Yeah. Definitely. And leading on from that question and what you just said, we are possibly preparing for a Christmas during lockdown. So I know that people in Scotland have been told to plan for a digital Christmas. Large family celebrations have been ruled out. And
God.
Traditional Christmas, as we've always known it has been described as fiction due to the coronavirus pandemic. So what does a digital Christmas look like to you? And how would you advise someone that is possibly looking at spending a Christmas alone?
I know. The first thing I say is going to be hard for our community. We are very big on Christmas. We all love that. So we love celebrating. We love engaging. We love spending time with each other. We love the noise, the cooking, the food. I mean, the cons of lockdown, like obviously not being able to see your family. I mean, the pros, in a funny sense, you won't have to cook as much. You won't have to engage with certain family members. Mm-hmm. But redefining what Christmas means to you is so important during this time. I'm not saying not putting that much importance on the event, but just redefining just for this year what Christmas means to you. Trying to stay connected with your family would be so important via Zoom or whatever. Trying to not put, as always, don't put too much pressure on yourself. Understanding that we are in a pandemic, Christmas this year is not going to be the same. Just accepting that is really helpful. It's also just going to be difficult for people who are used to being around loads of people during Christmas.
And the freedom to move around as well.
But just think this is going to happen hopefully just for this year, and next year we can resume programming. But looking after yourself, treating yourself, doing something, at least one thing, just to make yourself happy that day. And staying connected with family is going to be so important, but also just staying off social media, because you might live in a household with like 3 people. I've only got my brother and my mum, and somebody else might live in a household with 10 members of their family already, and their Christmas on social media is going to look so different to mine and my brother and my mum's. So my goal for this Christmas is staying off social media, because I don't want to see other people's celebrations. It will just put me down. Because I would have wanted to.
That's the problem with social media as well, I think. As influencers, as a content creator myself, I feel responsible to not make anything too much of an illusion, and to have some kind of realness to it. But social media is an illusion, and despite knowing that, even I fall into that trap.
Oh, certainly.
So I think remembering that it is an illusion, having a bit more discipline with yourself is key. And I also would probably say, if you don't have a lot of family around, maybe look at readjusting what your idea of family is.
It could
have very lovely neighbours that you speak to every now and then.
Exactly.
You know, it could be that you have friends that you consider very close to you, and even having a call with them, just checking in, would be fantastic.
Exactly, for sure. One thing I would ask for, like a lot of mums out there, I know it's so tempting to take pictures of the kids' presents this Christmas, but we also have to remember that COVID has massively impacted our community on such a level. So many people have lost their jobs. So many people are not able to give their children the Christmas that they would have wanted. So just kind of also being responsible for not being too flashy on that day, especially because there are mums out there that would not be able to provide for their children as you have. So just kind of being mindful of how we present ourselves and how we consume social media during that time is going to be really impactful.
What kinds of community sentiment have you received so far about Christmas? Have you had any? Has anyone reached out to you? Because I know for sure that with Thyself as a platform, we get a lot of questions, like asking us how to cope during Christmas. Have already started. Around how to finance around this time.
So we've had like a lot of questions about how to cope with anxiety and depression. We've had a lot of questions, especially from the LGBTQ plus community, about how to handle a second lockdown with family members who might be homophobic, for example. We've had questions about, you know, just how to manage stress and finances. And, you know, we're going to try our best to do as many workshops for our community from now until Christmas to answer as many of these questions, just to really equip people with better coping mechanisms for the second lockdown.
And then on a really positive note, I want to congratulate you for your work with Murky Books. It is gold.
Thank you.
Just before our call, I was scrolling on the internet and I saw that, and I just did a massive like...
Yes, we did it.
I feel like your joy is my joy. The community is my joy. Like, I just feel
like all of us. Honestly, I feel like we have been celebrating Black joy during this year. Just seeing other people win has just been so incredible, and we've had such incredible wins within the community, and it's just like, it's so warming to just see that people are finally getting the recognition and causes are finally being pushed and executed in the right way possible for the Black community.
I absolutely love it. So what can we look forward to? Because I know you have this, but I know for a fact you also have like a whole host of other opportunities.
We've got so much going on. Like, it's so annoying because a lot of our things have had to be pushed back. A lot of our partnerships have had to be pushed back. We had so many incredible events lined up that will happen next year. But we are also now thinking of ways that we can make Black Minds Matter a service that is going to be available for life. So just running like an actual charity. So we've got a 20,000 life donor challenge coming up where we're trying to find 20,000 people that are going to commit to giving £5 a month to Black Lives Matter, which is, I pray, is going to be easy because we've had 40,000 donors so far.
Yeah.
So just having that, like, those lifetime donors means that we can guarantee to help 1,500 people get 12 weeks of therapy every single year, which is amazing.
It is incredible. You can count me in.
So, thank you. Thank you so much.
Whoever's working on the podcast or listening to the podcast, yeah, just feel free to head over to Black Minds Matter. Sign up to the newsletter, I believe.
Yes, we do have a newsletter. We've got the link on our Instagram page if you do have Instagram. And if you don't, just email agnes@blackmindsmatteruk.com and I'll be more than happy to send you the link.
I love that you just aired your personal email online.
Do you know what? I don't even mind because people have managed to figure it out anyway. Just because it's like, and the amount of times I'm like, how did you get my email? But I'm like, it's so easy because obviously you've got the website link and people just add your. So yeah. Well, oh my God, don't stalk me, guys.
But no, thank you so much. I'm so proud to see you grow. I'm so proud to see Black Minds Matter grow. I'm so happy that thyself is a part of your community and likewise you're a
thank
part
you. Of that. Yes, you have been like one of the first platforms to really support us and push for us. And we're just so grateful that you have shared your community with us and have always been just bigging us up. And it's just, honestly, it's so heartfelt when you, especially for me, not having that many Black women in my life. It's so nice when I know that people out there, albeit even though it's virtually, who are supporting our mission and just want the best for us.
Exactly.
So thank you.
It's my pleasure. And also thank you to the Dope Black Women team.
Yes.
You guys are incredible. I just, you know, we're winning and let's just keep winning and keep growing. And yeah, thank you.
And keep supporting each other. That's it. That's incredible.
Exactly. Thank you.